The federal government grapples with a relief bill. What is an essential business? And how will state educators tackle the task of distance learning? Welcome to the Oklahoman's Daily Podcast, exploring the impacts of COVID-19. I'm Dave Morris. The numbers released by the State Health Department for Wednesday, March 25th, revealed there are now 164 positive cases of coronavirus in the Sooner State, with 5 deaths from the disease. The largest number of cases is centered in Oklahoma County, with 55 confirmed cases. As the public deals with the impacts of the illness, the nation's leaders are working towards a relief package.
As we fight to protect American lives, we're also protecting American livelihoods. Democrats and Republicans in the Senate are very close to passing an emergency relief bill.
The White House and Senate leaders agreed on a $2 trillion virus rescue bill early Wednesday. The measure will provide aid to businesses, workers, and a healthcare system struggling to keep pace. The bill is the largest economic rescue measure in history. The act is intended to prevent the nation's economy from spiraling into a recession. GOP leaders said passage of the legislation is expected by the Republican-controlled Senate by the end of Wednesday. Final approval will be up to the Democratic-controlled House. However, House members are scattered across the country, and a timetable for votes in the chamber is unclear.
All non-essential businesses must close by 11:59 tomorrow and remain closed for 21 days.
On Tuesday, Governor Kevin Stitt ordered the closure of all non-essential businesses in counties with confirmed cases of COVID-19. But the order left many wondering what businesses are considered essential. Capitol reporter Carmen Foreman provides us with some insight on what companies or organizations would be considered crucial.
So I've definitely been getting a lot of questions about what is an essential business and what is a non-essential business. Because everybody's wondering, like, you know, after tomorrow, can I go down to the store and pick up my groceries? Can I go to the pharmacy and pick up my medications? Yes and yes to both of those things. So on non-essential businesses, the governor's office has specifically pointed to bars, tattoo parlors, spas, massage parlors, movie theaters, and gyms as businesses that will have to close. And then the governor's office, he put out basically some detailed literature last night that goes into a little bit more of what his thinking is on what qualifies as an essential business. So he pointed to some federal regulations or some federal guidance, I should say, that lays out some essential industries. And so those are basically, you know, things you would expect: healthcare, anything to do with medical, law enforcement, a lot of infrastructure type things, whether that means like IT infrastructure or, you know, public works, water, sewer type stuff. Basically all the things that sort of have to keep going to keep a city or a state going. But then more specifically in Oklahoma, Governor Stitt pointed to medical marijuana dispensaries are classified as essential businesses. He basically said pharmacies, any healthcare related jobs or veterinary related jobs, those people will still be working and their offices will remain open. He also pointed to law enforcement type jobs. He noted call centers, like if you call 911, the person that you would talk to on the other line, their job is considered essential and they will still have to go to work. And then there are a couple other questions that I've gotten throughout the day. Somebody asked me about hardware stores. I happened to drop by a hardware store on my lunch break to buy an air filter, and they said that they're going to remain open. Lieutenant Governor Matt Pinnell said that hotels are classified as essential, and those will remain open. I'm still trying to get some answers on things like, what about liquor stores or gun stores? And I'm also curious if journalists are considered essential. So we'll see about those things. The governor's office also uploaded basically a form on their state website where if you aren't sure if you're an essential business or if you're currently classified as a non-essential business, you can fill out the form and give your reasoning for why you should be considered an essential business. And then the governor's office will consider that and they'll make a decision. So just a reminder that the order that the governor signed, it applied to 19 counties that had cases, confirmed cases of COVID-19. But as of today, there are 8 additional counties that have confirmed cases of COVID-19. So non-essential businesses in all 27 of those counties will have to close by midnight tonight.
Nonprofits are also struggling during the COVID-19 outbreak as volunteers start to distance themselves from public interactions. As concerns about safety increase, some of the simplest charitable actions can be impacted, such as donating blood. I spoke with Dr. Tuan Lei, Chief Medical Officer with the Oklahoma Blood Institute, on the safety of the donation process.
It is safe to donate. It's a safe process. It's a safe facility for people to show up and donate. And obviously, with all of the talk about shelter in place, be safe at home, stay at home, that sort of thing, that we need to counter that message with the fact that there are ongoing blood drives that are being canceled, and we just need those who are interested to donate to kind of check us out on our webpage, call us, and then we can have your questions answered.
Dr. Lei says if you yourself cannot donate blood, you can still help by encouraging your friends or family who are eligible to donate blood. For more information on how to donate, you can visit obi.org. Oklahoma joined a nationwide trend on Wednesday, ending in-person schooling for the rest of the academic year. The state's public schools will close their buildings and continue the school year through distance learning.
Let's keep learning happening, and let's move and ask that question and then implement what that answer will be to how do we keep our kids learning and growing? How do we continue? How do we make certain that we will not lose ground, that our children can keep momentum building? And this is what the next phase is about.
Nerea Martinez-Kill has more on the Department of Education's remote education plans.
Public school students in Oklahoma are going to start learning from home beginning April 6th. From now until April 6th, public school districts are going to have time to develop a specific distance learning plan, which they're going to have to submit to the Oklahoma State Department of Education and get that approved. But once that is in place, that could look a multitude of different ways, depending on the school district, their location, and their community's specific needs. Some school districts like Edmond are going to take a primarily virtual approach by loading lessons online for people to access. Other school districts could deliver class materials to students to work on at home. State Superintendent Joy Hoffmeister said this could even involve phone calls between teachers and students. The State Department of Education has a partnership with OETA, which is Oklahoma's public TV network and a PBS affiliate, to broadcast educational programming during the day. So every school district really has their own license to develop what this is going to look like and how they're going to meet their community's needs. But the main framework is a little bit more uniform than what you might find in other states, where everybody is going to start distance learning on April 6th, and they're going to probably start wrapping that up between May 8th and May 15th. However, they do have permission to continue educating students through distance learning beyond May 15th if they so choose. But the state superintendent said that a lot of school districts were asking for a target range to end the school year instead of just a hard stop date. But if school districts want to continue on into the summer, they can. It really is going to change from district to district because this is just so unprecedented and it's going to impact communities in different ways.
Teachers across the metro are hoping to maintain the bonds they've formed with their students. In several districts, educators have participated in caravans or teacher parades. As the Oklahoman's Abby Bitterman reports, it's a small act of kindness that has a big impact on young Oklahomans.
Teachers from several schools across the Oklahoma City metro have been lining up in caravans and parading through their students' neighborhoods this week. The teachers have been decorating their cars with car paint and handwritten signs and honking and waving as they drive by to show their students how much they love and miss them. And the parades have stretched far down the blocks they've driven through, with some teachers sticking their heads out of sunroofs in cars driven by significant others to make it easier to say hi to their students as they drive by. The caravans have been announced ahead of time, so families know when to stand outside or look out their windows. And it has also given kids and families time to show that the love goes both ways. They have been holding up signs and chalking their driveways to show how much they love and miss their teachers and their schools. Deborah Hendricks, the principal at Broadmoor School and Moore, said that one teacher described the experience as heartwarming and heart-wrenching at the same time, and the Norman Public School teachers I've talked with said that it was important for them to show their students how much they care about them and that they're still there for them. And they also thought that it was very touching to see that the love and care went both ways. The parades have brought out a lot of emotions for teachers and students alike, with smiles and cheers and even crying happening along these routes. With schools now out for the rest of the semester and starting online education around April 6th, the caravans have given students and teachers an opportunity to see each other again, even if only from a distance.
That's it. You've reached the end of this podcast. Thanks for clicking and listening. For more, go to oklahoman.com and support our efforts by subscribing at oklahoman.com/subscribe. For The Oklahoman, I'm Dave Morris.